happy people and it's good to celebrate the word of God. But I don't know how many of you took out time to take down the notes that Dr. Olumide was sharing. Because believe me, for many of you, you may not know how far your deliverance just came. Those 10 points written there, if you pay attention to those things prayerfully, don't just go back and archive them. My recommendation is that when you get back home, take the time to look at them one by one. Very powerful truths. And if you compromise on any of these, the truth is that you will not last. It is as simple as that. Hallelujah. So this session is meant to inspire us and to share a few things that by the privilege of God's grace is able to help us. And when I got to know what I'm to do here, that this is what I'll be doing, I had mixed feelings for two reasons. One, I'm not one person who is easily given to share stories like this. Number one, because of the value that I place on them. Most people are not prepared to learn from great people. They just happen to be in environments where they are privileged to hear. And the Bible says, do not cast your pearl before swine. Number two is unfortunately the sad experience we have with social media in our world today. For most people, when they hear things, all they are looking for is how to generate traffic through any information. And if you are to share your life experience in truth, you will have to mention things and involve people. And sometimes social media does not have respect for things like family, the contribution of people, and they can misunderstand certain things. So I'm going to be doing a standard teaching. I will only interject those teachings with parts and portions of the story that I feel it is necessary for this session. In as much as we're ministers of the gospel, I think the most important thing is to be able to connect truths in scripture, and then if and when necessary, I will come up with a few stories that can help us, because most believers don't learn from stories. They are just happy to know that, okay, now I know this and that and that. And most people don't benefit from it. I place a lot of value on my pain. I place a lot of value on the sacrifices. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Behind every glory, there is a story. It is true that people do not just appear. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. If you ask me to summarize my life, I will summarize it with two scriptures, and I want us to start with those scriptures. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than ye all. Yet not I, but the grace of God. Somebody say the grace of God. The second scripture is Romans chapter 9 and verse 16. Romans chapter 9 and verse 16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. One more time. So then, it is not of him that willeth, takes more than intention, nor him that runneth, takes more than action and activity. It says, but of God that showeth mercy. Help us this afternoon, O God, and grant us grace in Jesus' name. As a caption, I'll be teaching on fruitfulness in ministry. Fruitfulness in ministry, and I'll share a few stories that relate to my experience. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin our reading from verse 5. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And beside this, it says, give all diligence, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We're reading to 10 very quickly, and to knowledge temperance or self-control, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Next verse. For if these things be in you and abound, it says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, he says, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Let's read the last sentence. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We trust your wisdom to help us. In the marvelous name of Jesus. It is very important for us to understand God's idea of ministry. You know, all over the world, people want to be great. And this spans across business, ministry. We have a concept that we use in our world today to acknowledge those who seem to be doing something meaningful. We call them celebrities. We call them famous people, popular people, you know. They are branded in very many ways, and they become inspirations for people. You know, some of them work for other companies to promote their brands. We just have a way that we celebrate greatness in our world. And in truth, everyone seated here would tell you that somewhere within their hearts, they desire to be great. They desire to be celebrated at a global scale. Unfortunately, very, very few people in every generation would ever have the opportunity to taste of greatness as they desire. And the reason is not because God is unable to make them become great. It is that most people, number one, have not gotten their definitions right, and number two, they do not even understand the steps that leads to that realm of greatness and influence. My teaching this morning is not so much of a teaching per se. I just want to bring thoughts together that will redefine our understanding and inspire us and set us on a path of greatness. First, to tell us that everyone here, like I said yesterday, is destined for greatness. There is no such thing as some people rising to be great while other people sit at the back end and keep applauding their efforts. Are we together? Yes. The Bible is very clear that we have a destiny of greatness. Deuteronomy chapter 28. When you read from verse 1 and 2, it says, it shall come to pass that if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord. We have a destiny that is for greatness. Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 3. This was a proposition that was made to Abraham. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country, your kindred, your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Verse 2. Somebody say amen, even before we start reading it. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. It says, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall how many? The families of the earth be blessed. He didn't just say the families of the earth will be blessed. He said you will be part of the reason. In fact, you will be a major basis for the blessing of the entire family of the earth. This was a blessing to Abraham, a promise to him. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 6. I'm showing us from scripture that everyone biblically has an enviable destiny, a destiny of beauty and color. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Is it in your Bible? In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, through the blessings of redemption, Paul was mentoring the Galatian church. He says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, partakers that everything God told Abraham, it was for him and his seed, that seed being Christ. And now that if you are in Christ, there is a legitimate ground to answer amen to everything God told Abraham. The moment you find yourself in Christ, let me tell you this, the basis for an excelling life in this kingdom, the basis for a life of victory in this kingdom, primarily is your encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of every journey. Now, you can succeed from a secular standpoint without Christ by the application of the principles of the kingdom, even if you do not admit that they are kingdom principles. There are three dimensions of God's power as it operates in the earth. The first dimension of his power comes through fellowship and encounters. When you meet with the Lord, there is a dimension of his power that is invested in you. That is the highest level of power. The second dimension of his power is invested in principles. It is the power of God that is the force behind the potency of principles. You don't need a relationship with Jesus Christ to access that dimension of power. All you need is knowledge. Are we together now? And the ability to take risks in compliance to those principles. The third dimension of God's power is released through covenant alignment. That means you do not have to be the direct recipient of the power to benefit from it. All you need to do is find somebody who has that covenant with God and come into alignment with it. When God calls men, for instance, when God establishes institutions like this, there are personal covenants that he has with the people that provide the basis for certain possibilities. And you can come under that covering through covenant alignment. And even before you have knowledge of certain principles, you can start enjoying their blessings. The Bible says God called Abraham, and he says, and Lot went with him. God did not call Lot. It was never in the prophetic blueprint that Lot would follow Abraham. But Lot went with him. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 13, you find out that everything Abraham had, Lot had too. You will not even know who was called and who benefited. And Lot made one mistake. When their cattle and their men began to fight, Abraham called and said, we be brethren. Choose. Because he was the one carrying the blessing, so location did not matter. He said, you choose. And Lot was foolish. The Bible says he separated himself. That was his mistake. The first decision he made outside of the influence of Abraham landed him near Sodom. By the time Abraham would go to rescue him, he was not near Sodom. He was at the heart of Sodom. The prodigal son, he did not have knowledge clearly from his life, yet he was enjoying plenty. His secret covenant alignment to his father, provided he was home. There were privileges that did not depend on his knowledge. He was enjoying. And then the day he got away from his father, you see the poor level of his thinking demonstrated in the kinds of decisions that he took. His life began to degrade until he was with the swine. So I just said that so that you will understand that it is very, very important. Please listen very carefully. For us to know that if you want to succeed in the kingdom, the first port of call is not just discovering your purpose. The first port of call is not even vision. The first port of call is an encounter with the God of the Bible. It's important to say this because we live in a world where we are obsessed with results to the point where anything that has to do with God is not our business, provided we gain the attention of men. This is what I want to correct, because there are many people who will push Jesus out of their churches many times if they will gain popularity. My journey did not start with ministry. My journey never even started with any ambition for fame or whatever it is. No. By the privilege of God's grace, my grandfather was one of the first trustees of a popular denomination across this nation. So I would have easily said, well, I come from a lineage of missionaries. From a very sincere Christian background, loving the Lord, responsible parents. And not even that by default would equal a great destiny. Can I tell you the truth? The day you encounter the God of the Bible, that is when the clock of your destiny begins. Until you encounter Jesus Christ, keep growing old. As far as God is concerned, you are existing, not living. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. He did not say, I have it. I am it. He was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. John 3 verse 3. Jesus replies Nicodemus and says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, this is strange. Will a man enter into his mother's womb the second time? Then he replies, verse 5, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And then they continued their discussion until Jesus got to John 3 and verse 15. Please give us 15. Verse 15 says that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The word eternal life there, from a contextual meaning, is not an accurate rendition, because everybody has eternal life. Eternal life just means life without end, right? When the Bible was being translated, the translators did their best. The life God gave us, or the life he gives you when you encounter him, is not eternal life. The condition for eternal life is that you pass through the womb of a woman. Everyone in hell and heaven, they are alive. So says the story of Lazarus and the rich man. When you evangelize to people, you don't ask them whether they will spend eternity. The question is location, not the possibility. They will spend eternity. So the life that Jesus came to give us, listen very carefully. If you just see it as eternal life, everlasting life, that may not be very accurate. It is called Zoe, the life of God. This is the foundation of your becoming great, and it is important that you must understand this. We talk a lot about discovering your call, we talk a lot about discovering your purpose, and that is accurate if your encounter with Jesus Christ is in place. If you do not encounter Jesus, you can become successful as far as abiding with the principles of greatness is concerned. But this is a kingdom conference, and we're talking about the kind of greatness and a life of excellence that impacts people here on earth, and you still become relevant and great after this life. Because if our hope is only in this life, the Bible says that we are of all men most miserable. Somebody say encounters. The foundation for a great destiny in this kingdom does not just depend on vision or zeal or all of these things. Encounter with the God of the Bible. John said, this is the testimony, the record, that God hath given us eternal life. He says, and that life is in his Son, so that whoso has the Son hath that life. Do you know there are many people who want to go into ministry today? They are not saved. They are not born again. Everything around your life will revolve around your convictions. Let me restore the protocol of greatness. The first thing you need in your life is not it. The first thing you need in your life is Him. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God. Never forget this. The foundation in the beginning of your journey, God. In the beginning of your business, God. Not ideas. In the beginning of my destiny, God. In the beginning of my career, God. In the beginning of my home, my marriage, God. In the beginning of my setting up the leadership institute, God cannot be Omega over what He was not Alpha on. He has to be Alpha for Him to be Omega. Somebody say, in the beginning, God. Not ministry, God. This is the accurate protocol for designing a life of greatness and grace and glory. In the beginning, God. Let everything in your life come and meet Him there. Not that you pile up everything, then you invite Him to join the queue. God does not just want to be in your life, His position matters. Is someone learning? In the beginning, God. When I began my walk with God, sincerely I will tell you, you've heard it many times in my teachings, I never had any ambition to be any great man of God. I never had any ambition for fame and popularity. You see that? All I wanted was Jesus. He still is my pursuit today. Because before anything came, He was there. I would be foolish to leave Him for anything that I did not find there. When I was alone, no fame, no name, no nothing, it was Him there. Jesus. We need to say Jesus because God means many things today now. And since Jesus has come as the express image of the invisible God, my dear people, listen to me. For many of you, by this part of this teaching alone, God is calling you. You need to suspend a lot of ministerial activities and return back to the secret place. Because you have lost it in pursuance of principles. You have lost it in pursuance of several other things. There is nothing in my life today that will ever take the place of God. You've heard me say it. I will close ministry 1,000 times to preserve my relationship. Fame, nonsense. Name, nonsense. If I die today, you will only cry that I come back to life. If I don't, you will bury me. Take it down for me, please. Listen to a song that I want to sing. It's a powerful song that I learned years ago. Take it again for my voice so I don't shout.
My heart is aching for your living stream. My soul is aching for you.
This is part of my story.
All that I long for is found in your love. You are everything I need. You are the thirst. You are the stream. You are the hunger living deep inside of me. You are the food that satisfies. You are provision for the journey of my life. You are everything. Oh, you are everything. You are the first. The stream, you are the hunger living deep food that satisfies. You are provision for the journey of my life.
Listen, when you start with God, the first assignment is follow me, not follow it. When he met the disciples, he says, follow me. I am your focus. You will be apostle someday, but the protocol is not leave the issue of assignment. Follow me. The challenge with many people is that we find what we want. And then we come to Jesus, like I said yesterday, we borrow him so that we can help make sense of our lives. Everyone he met, he said, follow me. Don't use me. Follow me. And the reward is I will make you. So if you are not made, it's because you are not following. When you are following, you don't need to know where you are going because you are being led. It is when he's sending you that you now talk of empowerment, assignment, and the geography of your witness. When some of us started with God, I watched the way people do ministry today, and with every sense of respect and regard, I just nod my head and I just pray and intercede, because many people are on their way to a fatal crash. Believe me. I can know where you are going by seeing how you started. And except God intervenes and shows you mercy, you may not arrive. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, church. Not in the beginning, a conference. Not in the beginning, a protocol. Not in the beginning, sound system. There are many people who weary themselves with prayer. They write all kinds of lists and travel around. Can you help me with 10 million, 5 million? I want to start a church. I need a sound system. No, you need Jesus. You don't even need a church. You need a relationship. That is the epicenter where you will derive every other thing that will make sense in your life. Is God speaking to someone? In the beginning, when you come to God, let me tell you this. Among the many things that happens to you, there are four encounters that must happen. Number one is an encounter with the Son of the Living God, Jesus the Son. What is the advantage of that encounter? It is the legitimate ground upon which eternal life, as we call it now, is administered to you. The Bible says you cannot receive the life of God except you have an encounter with the Son of God. Are we Bible students? Immediately after that encounter with the Son of God, in order of priority, the next most important encounter in your life is the encounter with the Spirit of God. Your encounter with the Holy Spirit. Even though the Holy Spirit plays a role in your meeting Jesus, because the Bible says he's the one who convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He is even the one who administers the life of God to you. In fact, he is what you call the life of God. But there is an encounter with the office and the person of the Holy Spirit. Listen very carefully. When you come to follow Jesus, whether you end up being a businessman, whether you end up being a family man, the geography of your witness is not as important as the personality you are meeting. Listen carefully. The geography of your witness, what you will be called to do, is not as important as the relationship that you are building. It is the relationship you are building that will give relevance to whatever it is you find yourself doing. So that when there is nothing to do, there is still a relationship to keep. Because whatever you do will end. You will never go to heaven because of what you did. You will go to heaven because of the relationship. What you did will be the basis for rewarding you. But your arrival there, even if you go to hell, you will go to hell because of a relationship you chose to keep. Is someone learning? So an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, the next encounter you need in your life, has nothing to do with being a Pentecostal, charismatic, orthodox, whatever it is. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Him so much. It was so important that Jesus Himself, He made a statement. The beginning of His discourse about the ministry of the Holy Spirit started in John 14 from John's synoptic account. He began to introduce them to a strange being called the Comforter. He says, He will come. They saw His invincibility, that while Jesus walked upon the earth, He was mighty, exploits after exploits. And He told them, He said, gentlemen, let me tell you a secret about me. I can of my own self do nothing, even though I am the Word, the incarnate of the Father. But that the agency that supplies the strength and the power for this enviable ministry, it is drawn from the Spirit. Are we together? You need to be introduced to the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Guess what Jesus said? I have many things to tell you, but He cannot bear them now. He said, how be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, that He will guide you into all truth. Is that in your Bible? That He will take of that which is of the Father and He will give unto you. The Holy Spirit was so important. Jesus said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. What do you get at the arrival of the Holy Spirit? Direction. What do you get at the arrival of the Holy Spirit? Illumination. Without the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit, you remain helpless. You have to understand this. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. Just because it is truth does not mean it will profit you. Reading your Bible without the Holy Spirit will only help you find error and mix truth in a way that will kill you. It's not only a lie that can kill. Truth that is stretched outside of His jurisdiction of relevance can also destroy you. When Pastor was sharing here, he made a statement and he said the character of deception is that it can mix the truth and a lie. So just because you are having truth does not mean it will bless you. Truth can kill. He will guide you into all truth. The assignment of the Holy Spirit is to guide you, to provide direction to your life. The Holy Spirit activates your organs of interaction with the realm of the Spirit so that you become what the Bible says, alive unto God. These are the foundational requirements even before we begin to talk about ministry or business. Unfortunately, most people push these things away because we compare ourselves to people who have seemed to ignore God and seem to be excelling. You have not seen their end. Go and read Revelation. The Bible says, for in 1 hour, Babylon the Great is fallen, that in 1 hour, the glory that we see today fades. Number three, the third encounter that you will need is encounter with the Word of God. There is Jesus, the Son of God, who is the Word, but there is encounter with the Logos of God, the principles and the mysteries of the kingdom. This is very important. These are the implications of coming to Jesus. We are examining in the beginning God, that when you begin your journey, if it is greatness in this kingdom, what you need is not just self-discovery or purpose alone. Those things are wonderful, but foundationally, is God helping someone? So encounter with Jesus, the Son of God, you get the life of God's way. Encounter with the Holy Spirit, guidance, direction, empowerment. Number three, encounter with the Word of God as the mysteries and the principles of the kingdom. Are we together now? What do you get there? Knowledge, spiritual intelligence. Matthew 13 and verse 11, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Knowledge. Now you begin to understand the ways of God. And listen to me, there is a relationship between the ways of God and the glory of God. Exodus 33, please, and verse 13. The first thing Moses requested for was not the glory of God. He said, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way 5 verses later, verse 18, he now says, show me your glory. You cannot see his glory until you understand his ways. There is a relationship between his ways and his glories. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6. There are things you must know that will sponsor the action you take so that you will experience the glory of God. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Is someone learning? The fourth encounter you need to jumpstart your Christian experience that eventually will lead to greatness is encounter with the body of Christ. So number one, encounter with Jesus Christ. Number two, encounter with the office and the person of the Holy Spirit. Number three, encounter with the logos of God. You get understanding, you get empowerment. The word exousia, authority, is derived from knowledge. So your knowledge of the word of God is what eventually translates into the experience of your authority. But number four, encounter with the body of Christ. The body of Christ has been mandated by God to, number one, help you establish a spiritual family where you are trained and you are groomed. Is that true? God now refers you to his body. What happens within the body of Christ? God connects you usually to a local assembly. God connects you to men and women, shepherds that he has mandated to continue the mentorship session. While you have met him, now there are human institutions that begin to build you methodically, helping you to understand the ways of God. According to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, and I will give you pastors or shepherds according to my heart. They have an assignment to feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Is someone learning? It is when you encounter the body of Christ that now they begin to teach you other aspects like vision, discovering your call, and helping you to understand very methodically what it takes to be great. Has someone gotten this now? When I started with God, believe me when I tell you this, it was never about ministry. It was never about fame. It was about Jesus, that desire to love him, to know him, to pursue him. And that is why till today, no matter by the privilege of God's grace, with all the bits that God has done in and through our lives, I remain ever broken and ever humbled. When I go to God, I don't go to God as a man of God. I go to him and say, that's your boy. He's still there. Thank God for all that the world calls and names us, but I return with joy and gratitude, saying thank you. It is a privilege to do the things that you have called me to do. What you do can fail, but your relationship must never fail. Because restoration only comes when your relationship is in place. Ministry can change. Ministry can fail. Business can change. Business can fail. Family can change. Sadly, family can fail. But the moment your connection with the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely is in place, listen, the foundation for true holiness, the foundation for integrity is in your encounter, not just in principles. Principles can only help, but they cannot make you walk upright. Principles can only help, but principles cannot make you become someone of integrity. It takes, your conscience is derived from your relationship. Are we together? There are many expectations we have over people who don't have a relationship with God. That expectation is a waste of time. It will never happen. Because to live in a way and a manner that brings glory to God, the life that you draw, please give us Ephesians 6 verse 10. If we can get amplified, let's read it very quickly. And then I just tie up a few things and we pray. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. Read with me. Ready? One to read. In conclusion, it says, be strong in the Lord. It says, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength which his boundless might provides. He says, be empowered. How? Through your union. So the battery, the force that drives your relevance, the force that drives your character, the force that drives your staying power, is not just what you know, is who you know. The first kind of knowledge that you need to know is not the knowledge of things, is the knowledge of Him. John 17 and verse 3, Jesus was praying, and this is eternal life, He says, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ. When you know Him first and you know His Son, then you can know every other surrounding knowledge that makes for your strength and stability. For the Bible says in Daniel 11 and verse 32, it is the people that do know their God, not just information about the kingdom. You can know a lot of things about the kingdom. The pandemic has taught us a serious lesson that when all is said and done, your stability is derived from a person, not just factors. God is not a factor. God is not a principle. God is not a mystery. The principles come from Him. He is the force. It is from His power that all these principles are empowered. Are we together now? Why am I saying this? You know that I teach principles a lot. Your man of God teaches principles a lot. But there are many believers who want to jump the step. They are not interested in encounters. All they want is, show me how church grows. You will soon be learning that there are gaps in these principles that only the size of God can fill. In ministry, 1 + 1 is not 2. There are many other variables that can make 1 + 1 = 0. You do 1 and 1, yet your answer is still 0. You now graduate to 10 + 10, and mysteriously, your answer will still be 0. There is a gap in that equation that only God can fill. When God is part of it, 1 + 1 equals the answer He puts there. Is someone learning? Let me tell you this, respectfully speaking, most of the things that Dr. Olumide Emmanuel listed here, competitive jealousy, envy, and all of those things, your immunity against those things is the strength of your relationship with Jesus. I assure you, your chances of survival in this forest called greatness is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not have a functional relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how well-intentioned, how well-meaning you are, He was saying something, I think it was this morning or yesterday night, that you cannot look at a poor man and say he's humble. You see, you can't be sitting on the ground and say you jumped up and went down. You're already down. Because you see, there are many things that are enshrined in our heart that is only time and opportunity that reveals. Nobody would have known that in a shepherd is a murderer. If you saw the young little David and they told you this boy will be a murderer one day, you would say, God forbid. The same way you are saying God forbid for yourself. That God is saying one day you can like women, one day you can like money, one day you can fight with people because of titles, and He said, God forbid. And He says, don't worry, let me vet you and walk upon you first. Respectfully speaking, and we men of God and those who God has helped to be, you know, to some kind of progress in ministry, we must be careful not to expose people beyond their level of relationship. Some of them can be very skillful, but they don't know God. And because of our passion to move forward, we pick people who have not been worked on by the Spirit and give them responsibilities beyond their spiritual capacity. Maybe not their mental capacity, but their spiritual capacity. The young man has not finished dealing with lust. He has not finished dealing with pride. Now you put him in a department or you give him a whole branch. In terms of linguistic prowess, he can deliver like Saul. Tall and handsome. Except that he does not have any bit of strength and stature in the spirit. One attack from the gate of hell and he's down. Because he does not even understand the way to the altar. He does not know how to retreat and draw strength. These things don't come by teaching principles. It is something you learn by pressing into God. God must show you. He must become your value. That when all else fails, you can retreat back. Can I tell you this? There are many people who fail in ministry because they succeeded. If they had failed, they would not fail. The reason why they failed was because they succeeded. When doors begin to open everywhere, you can literally stay 1 year without reading your Bible and still preach series upon series. You are pastors, you know what I'm saying. There is a dimension of delivery on this altar that does not depend on fire. It just depends on your ability to communicate scripture. And if you study this Bible for a while, something must be in your head. And with the social media age, in 5 minutes you can listen to a little video that will prime something you've forgotten, and you can stand on stage and preach.
You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger.
Listen, let me tell you this. Many years ago, before I even started ministry, just like Dr. Olumide was saying, by the privilege of God's grace in my little life, I have seen many, many ministers. I remember those days. The first crusade that we had, after that crusade, with all due respect, a few leaders from PFN came that time in PFN within the region where we had the crusade. It was such a phenomenal crusade. And they came to me and said, you know what? We want to give you... there was a particular a place to come and have a branch. We'll bring pastors for you to train them. And that looked like a very nice offer. Everybody say expansion. I went to God in prayer and I said, Lord, do I go? And God used these exact words, you will die. Sincerely, now I know he was right. Looking from hindsight, there are many people, he was traveling abroad, that killed them. The day they crossed and they were, and social media now makes it easy to die. Easy to die. It was harder to die because the system can even help you. Failure to access some things can even help you discover fast that you are in trouble. Social media promotes everything. And we can get into that mundane self-satisfaction. Many pastors here, our dream, if we say we should write prayer requests now, and we have the opportunity to open it and see it, there is nothing kingdom come that is written there. We may pray, we may yell, but from money to titles to membership to increase, I'm not saying those things are wrong. We admire so many people. You clapped for me and I appreciated you yesterday when I came up here, and I still appreciate you that I'm here now. I saw many people clapping, but I'm sure many of you will watch and that's the man. And all this celebrity thing, and somewhere within you there is a drive. Oh God, when will my turn come? When you understand what I'm teaching you. Most of the people who are great became great because they were not interested in greatness. They were interested in something bigger than greatness. Greatness came as a side effect of their diligence and their pursuance of someone and something higher and greater. Hallelujah. The confidence that I had and I still have came from my relationship with Jesus. To do some of the daring things that God granted us grace to do. When I started ministry in Zaria, for those of you who come from the north, we're having a bit of discussion yesterday after service, and we're talking about the state of the north. I have seen many crises, religious crises, several things. You cannot be strong if you don't know God. Are we together now? And God granted grace, brought honor to his name. It was the Holy Spirit who defined the curriculum of our work. It is very important for you to know this. your encounter with Jesus Christ. The second thing that helped me and will help every man of God who wants to become great is a track record of service and accountability. A track record. That idea of saying people came out of nowhere is nonsense. There is nobody who comes out of nowhere. Just because you are not there when he's killing the lion and the bear does not mean he did not kill them. Nobody appears before Goliath just like that. In everybody's destiny, there is what is called the season of appearing. John remained in the wilderness until his season of appearing. Many years ago, sir, I used to play keyboard for a man who would later run a prison ministry. That time they went to preach. They were part of the people who went to preach for even one of the former, you know, president in this nation when he was in prison. I used to play keyboard for them. I would carry my own keyboard and trek. I had my church. I would finish and come back and trek and go and play the keyboard. For all the time I played that keyboard, the only reward I ever got in my life was one bottle of Fanta and one cassette during the launching. Many people cannot serve now. They didn't tell me thank you. They didn't give me money. It's a joke. When you love Jesus, it's an honor to even play any kind of role. Whether it's cleaning. We live in a generation that is obsessed about thank you. Don't get me wrong. Leaders should be very thoughtful. However, if thank you is your motivation, forget about greatness. God sees my heart that I served with all my life and I gave my best. It was not the best in the rain and the sun. The keyboard is my own. It's not like maybe it was. I will carry it by myself and go and set it up and play with joy and return back. Everybody say service. Never trust people who don't have a track record of serving. I repeat, never trust a man of God, a businessman who does not have a track record of service. Among the many things that service does is it begins the foundation of your appreciating checks and balances. Some of this unguarded living where nobody is able to constructively communicate truths that can help us, it comes because most people they don't understand the power of structure. When Elisha, who would later become a great prophet, he was not in his destiny to be a prophet. The prophet should have come out from the sons of the prophets, because Elijah had a group he was training. But it was through service. The Bible calls Elisha the man who poured water on the hand of Elijah. To appreciate that, you need to know how angry and how temperous a person Elijah was. Do you know the things that Elisha had to endure? Another benefit of service is that it builds compassion in you. Because from the things that you have tasted and touched, good or bad, it will now help to filter the way you do ministry. Most people do not have conscience and empathy because they never served. Even if you serve a man who ill treats you, even if you serve a man who is not his best, because all men are men, the best of us is still human. You will see that human side, whether some weakness, some area that has not been corrected yet, or God is still working on. The man can be a mighty prophet, yet he's an angry man. When he gets angry, it's as if Jesus just left him. He can rain it down on you, and while you want to run away, God will say, stay. I don't endorse the anger, but I found something in it that can train you. He will say, stay there. Some of you, let me tell you this, because of your destiny, God will relocate you and put you in the family of extremely harsh and insensitive people for a period of 5 or 6 years. You will cry and cry and cry and say, God, are you this heartless? And God will say, no, I am that thorough. I know where you are going. And I know, although the limitation in their character is not the best, but I have found it a useful tool to train you for the kind of place you are going. So they will wake you up by 2 a.m. They think they are being wicked to you. and they make you wash the plates by 2 a.m. and while you are crying, your destiny is rejoicing. He said that is the exact kind of discipline that will be needed for the ministry God is calling you. Can I tell you, when God is silent, understand what he's saying. When God is silent on you, among the many things he's saying is that what you are going through is betting something consistent with his will. The silence of God is a voice. You must know what he's saying when he's not saying anything. Are we together? Let me tell you this. The school of the spirit is so meticulous in his dealings. Any class you jump in the school of the spirit, that will become the weapon Satan will use to kill you. In the physical universities and colleges of education, you can miss certain lectures and just read up during exam and write and pass. But in the school of the spirit, when you miss character 101, something you don't know there will wait until you become a millionaire before it manifests. When you miss prayer 101, it will wait for you until the day demons attack you. Everybody say service. Most of the things you want to learn have been designed for you in service. Some of you are in this house now. The truth is that eventually and in the future, you will be running your own ministries too. But God planted you quietly. Now here is where the devil has mastered something about the itch of men to find expression. When God wants to give you 2 million next week, the devil will give you 500,000 today. 2020 naira. So that you pick everything in a hurry and run away. Some of you are in this church right now. Some of you are men of God under others. You are anointed sincerely, even more anointed than maybe your various overseers. And the devil would design men who come to tell you, did you listen to the message pastor preached? You know that revelation you were correcting in our little Bible study. You see the mistake he was making too. And they begin to say something to you that brings pride. Some of you may come from backgrounds where your pastors may not have that kind of revelation, and God keeps you there and say, don't worry, I will supplement for his inadequacy. Thank God for internet. But there is something about his character that kept him for 60 years as a reverend. Learn. Are we together? Let me tell you this. When you see great people who God does not seem to be lifting, don't help him lift them. There is something he's doing with them. Why are you in the welfare department and yet you can pray for 7 hours? God says, stay there. There is something I'm teaching you. And sometimes you can feel so insulted and feel, I thought by now I should be a pastor, a deacon. Is it that my pastor is blind? With the kind of grace I have, with all humility, every other person, they know that I have revelation and I have this. I go and preach somewhere and they celebrate me, yet I come to my own church and I sit down quietly. Let me advise you, stay there and pay attention to what you are learning. Because these days that you are rushing to live, you will miss it. Everybody say service. So encounter and then service. You only follow people who have followed. If they have not followed anybody that makes sense as far as building and molding character is concerned, they are dangerous. Not because they are bad. Their ignorance, the things they should have learned that they have not learned, they will kill you unknowingly. Let me give you two more and then we'll pray. Number three, are you ready for the third? The third thing that I want to teach you that will help you excel in ministry is sacrifice. Sacrifice. By the privilege of God's grace, let me tell you sincerely, the life of this man standing before you is a testimony of sacrifice. Testimony of sacrifice. As a student, God gave me instructions. I was showing all my scholarship. I think it's only one I can remember. I was on two scholarships. It's only one I can remember that I benefited from. It's either going for a crusade. Sacrifice. When God was building me on the matters of faith, I remember times when God would give me an instruction. And even as I am now, I know that it's not all of them that it was error in my hearing. Then I had an account with First Bank, and then you will use Teller. Nothing like one branch connecting to another branch. Like you have now, you can, it doesn't matter the branch. You carry your Teller and your passport, remember? Your passport is like your ID card. And you stand there and the machine says, cashier number this, cashier number that. So when they are paying lecturers, usually there is a long queue. And the Holy Ghost will make me, I will go and stand on that long queue by faith, hoping that there will be money in my account. 2 hours, 3 hours praying in tongues. And I would stand there, cashier, my heart is beating. Would I have embarrassed myself? These 4 hours, I read a powerful book by Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth this and all of that. And then, cashier number this. Sorry, are you expecting some money? I say, yes. Maybe you can call them, eh? There is no money there. After waiting for 3 hours, and I will get back, and a joy I cannot explain. I didn't know I was in the school of faith. So when I speak over your life and it happens now, don't think it just came out of nowhere. There is a track record of trusting God without result. Until my ego was stung and stung, there was nothing to protect again. In that death, the power of God now came. Are we together? Yes. There was a time in my life I was diagnosed. I was in the seminary and I was diagnosed of a fungal infection. It literally ate my head. Like hair was almost not supposed to grow again. The seminarians and the students complained that, you know, because of the condition of my head, I was irritating them. So permanently, they kept me at the back. It didn't matter whether I came early or not. I stayed at the back. For we do not have a high priest who has not been touched with the feelings. You are a man of God without compassion because you've not gone through anything that relates to that. It is from that pain that the healing anointing flows. Don't be afraid of your scar today. There is power that will flow from that scar. Your scar means a wound was once there. Not a wound is there. When you get to heaven today, you don't know Jesus just by the glory on him alone. Search for who has the scar on his hand. I remember that time. Eventually, they got a soap. I remember going to a hospital, a lab, and they had to culture. They took samples. They had to use something like a tongue on fire and to take a sample. Some of you who are lab people, microbiologists, you know what I'm talking about. And then they designed a soap and a drug. And sir, if I miss that thing for one day, it will show. The pain was enormous. Sometimes there's no water. I'll have to stand and put my head in the rain. And I'm praying in tongues. Lord, I know you are taking me somewhere. It may not be like it. You are not the first to go where you are going. I understand by experience what the Bible says. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. For me, it's not a memory verse. It's an experience. The first time we went for our crusade, it was a mighty move of the Spirit. Not many people, in all fairness, but signs and wonders, but we're owing sound money. I took sound people from Kaduna State. That was when I knew that your knowledge in one area of the kingdom will not automatically cover for your ignorance in another area. There are keys, not a key. You can have the key to the kitchen if you are hungry, that is good. But if you want to use the restroom and you don't have the key to the restroom, you are still in the house. But you will roam around that house because you do not have the key. You need keys to all the rooms. If you have the key to the living room, well done. That's wonderful if you want to rest. But when you are hungry and you do not have the key to the kitchen, you are still in the house, but you will still suffer. Everybody say keys. I learned the value of knowledge, not just by a lecture, by my pain. How could a man of God so anointed? We fasted, and went on that crusade ground. Blind eyes were opening. God was healing people. And yet we could not afford 150,000. Now it was a lot of money then. You know what it means for people to drive from Kaduna by over 5 or so hours journey to the venue of the crusade ground, to set up their entire sound. And I was preaching and they were listening to me. Jesus saves. He heals, he delivers. And the sound people were watching me. I know what it means to be teaching people something you are also expecting God to do in your life. But the integrity of ministry demands that you still teach it. That sometimes you may not have a child and yet God says teach on fruitfulness. And you have to stand and honor your call beyond your pain. Everybody say sacrifice. Learn this. The gospel of convenience will destroy our generation. Let God be true. And every man, including your experience, be a liar. If I die of sickness today, God forbid, the last word that will come out of my mouth is by his stripes, I am healed.
Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles on what it feels today.
We're wrapping up.
Though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now, that is hard for me to pray.
Until you have gotten to that point in ministry, you don't know what you're doing.
But I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will see. And I will pray. Even in my darkest time, through the sorrow and the pain, I will see, I will praise. I lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true, I will see.
Listen now, listen now. We're wrapping up. Encounters, service, sacrifice. Those days when I was in FCS, God started lifting and honoring me. Many of the people who became our leaders in FCS, I was there before they came. I watched them run around doing registration on campus, yet eventually they became leaders. Some of them, I was friends with their pastors, and I would go and preach in their church and still come and sit down quietly. One of the hardest parts of the journey, when you feel you are overqualified for where you are, and God says, still stay, still stay, still stay. Still stay. I remember a point when God was already using me mightily. I was then in the choir, and they were looking for somebody to be the music director. The escorts were even afraid because they knew I was good musically. And they, how can we beg this man of God to be music? This, it will be an insult. Because some of them have sat in meetings where I preached, and their pastors are my friends. They didn't even interview me. They called me and they went, please, sir, you know, they served. I said, what is it? They said, music director. I said, with all joy, I will serve him. The person who was a music director in the other part, we splitted the choir into two. Those who lead the regular service and then those who are the main choir of the other guy, because then I had started ministry and he was in the ministry, so it's like calling a father and a son to be music director. He refused. He said, I won't do it. I said, do it and serve faithfully, and if you think I'm doing anything wrong, challenge me. Within the choir, no problem. When we go outside and we're doing ministry, you can give me that honor. Say sacrifice. In Zaria, listen, let me tell you, in Zaria, those times, because you cannot get a direct flight. It was even until recently that the flight to Lagos was fairly, I will never forget one time, sir, I was on my way, most of the flights, I have to leave Zaria and go to Kaduna. 4 a.m., 5 a.m., I return to Zaria sometimes on Friday by 5:30 or 6 o'clock, service has started. I would just bath and not eat and preach. And by the next day, 4 a.m., I have to be out to catch a 9 o'clock flight in Abuja to go and preach somewhere, and I'm starting the morning session. For many years, I did not stay in my own house for more than 2 weeks in a whole year. They came from nowhere. Is somebody learning? We're wrapping up. I hope I'm not wasting your time. My apologies. We're going to pray. I'm not bullying you. It's just for you to learn. Behind every glory, there is a story. I cannot count how many times God helped us to escape robbers. You can imagine, there was a time I was on my way. I was going to go and preach in Maiduguri, when Boko Haram was hot and people were killing. True story. That time I used to charter a golf that just moves me around for time's sake. And I remember we just crossed Kaduna. We were on our way going when, was it either IRS or one of these flights, Chachanki, or one of these former flights, they just sent a text that sorry, they are not going again. It was a Friday. If you know anything about the north, respectfully speaking, you don't want to be roaming around the road on Friday by afternoon, because anything can happen. And I looked at that, my driver, I said, can you drive to Maiduguri? And he said, yes. I thought about the souls and the people who needed encouragement in that time of pain. They had been praying. Every man of God was refusing to go there because of their lives, for justifiable reason. And I said, Lord, what then is the excellency of being an apostle if you cannot go? It's not a title. It is that you are prepared to serve God even if it means to be martyred. He said, yes. I told him, reverse the car. God is my witness. We passed Kano just 1 hour when there was a bomb blast. As soon as we passed Kano, I think we were around Jigawa, I just got information, please be careful. They've declared 24 hours curfew. I didn't know whether there would be curfew, whether we'll be going. When we got to Portiscom, they had to stop us there and say they were fighting in front. You can't move beyond this place. I slept that night in the car, myself and a gentleman who used to play instrument for me. There were people, they created a mosque and were praying. I was just there in that car. Imagine thousands of people, some angry, chanting all kinds of things. And yet you are there. And I said, Lord, well, it is because I love you. It is not because I'm looking for fame. If I die here, let it be that Jesus was glorified through my life. That was how we got to Maiduguri. And the people cried. They were happy. They said, so you came. I said, if it's for Jesus, I will go to any length. Almost all the crisis in Kaduna that has happened within the last 20 years plus or thereabout, it happened in my presence. 7/11, the crisis 4 days before 9/11 that happened in Jos, I was in town when the killing started. I watched women, pregnant women, ripped open, and their children. Listen. Do you know the way oil is made? This anointing that you want. Oil is made from a threshing floor. There are times where in the midst of your pain, I didn't finish my story on that our crusade. I was almost going to jail because of that money. I pleaded and pleaded. I said, please wait, let my scholarship come. I will give it. The people were sincerely patient with me, and there was an unnecessary delay. That was when the Lord began to reveal to me that there was a need to understand the principles of finances. Otherwise, you can be anointed. Even as a prophet, if you don't have bread, you will die. So for me, contending for financial principles is not a matter of convenience. I've tasted of the other side of being deficient of financial intelligence. The last stage is empowerment. Stop there. One night, in the midst of my various encounters, in the midst of my service to the house of God with all my heart as best as I could, in the midst of all the sacrifices, something happened. I was seated quietly in my room when a strange visitation happened. I'm seated quietly, and suddenly it almost looked like rapture, and a stranger walks into my room. Standing before me was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords himself. I have seen him. When Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, stood before me, I could look at any part of him forever and not be tired. The brightness and the brilliance. When I looked at Jesus, I knew that many preachers did not know him. It wasn't to condemn, but sincerely so, let me tell you. He was not talking to me, yet I was understanding everything he was saying. That's when I learned that you do not have to speak to talk. The language of God is light. And then he stretched his mighty right hand towards me, and light, like the sun in its brilliance, just entered into my entire being. Whether I was alive or dead, I cannot explain to you. And with a warm smile, how he left. He didn't come through the door. He just left. And the moment that happened, I opened my Bible, and there was a straight line from Genesis to Revelation. What is this mystery? What was happening to me? One last vision, and then we pray. Empowerment. I was taken in a vision, and I stood at an elevated, it looked like the window of a room upstairs, and I saw an endless sea of people. It was a generation, and they were crying. And then it was like I focused on those who were in front. Why are you crying? And they said, there's no food and there's no water. I said, who is the cause? And they pointed at me. The whole generation was crying, and they said, we don't have food and water, and the reason is because of you. And I said, no, I can't be that wicked. My name means a way to love. And then I told them, I said, I am coming to rescue you. But I remember that some people had chased me to be there. It was out of fear. I found myself locked up in that small room. But I made up my mind. I said, if I perish, I perish. As soon as I opened that door, there was a giant white or gray bearded man. He stretched his hands and held my little hands. He said, I will walk with you. Come. Now I know that was the Holy Spirit. He held my hands. This is where the ministry of the Spirit was birthed from. The signs and the wonders and the manifestations that you see. Be sensitive now, because I'm seeing a cloud. Every time I begin to talk about these meetings, I see these things begin to happen. Just help those under the anointing. Because many of you are in seasons where that stranger, that spirit of the living God, that is coming. When he held my hands, he said, let's go. And it was a building to another building where to be jumping. I was too small to jump the size of those buildings, but there were small ladders connecting them. And he would jump and sit down and wait for me to climb the ladder slowly. In another encounter, I was opened up in a vision, and the Lord said, son, from today I give you my presence as a gift. Listen carefully. And when I saw that, my eyes were open and I saw this being standing. He said, this angel will walk with you. I said, what is his name? He said, he's called the angel of the Lord's presence. This is what is responsible for some of these manifestations that you see. There are thrones, there are kingdoms, there are mountains and there are thrones, but only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. Hallelujah. From encounters to service to a track record of sacrifice, then you get to that season of empowerment where his majesty comes to you in power and in grace, in power and in wisdom. I started seeing dimensions of the power and the grace of God in my life. Strange encounters. When I took the book God's General and I opened it, was as if I was reading about my relatives. From when, listen, let me tell you the truth. Listen, we are praying. Those days when I began to see the power of God on me, there was somewhere I used to sit down. How they will know I'm around is when people are passing that circumference as I'm sitting there. Suddenly the power of God, you just find people roaming around and loitering on the floor. I'm somewhere there locked up studying. The ministry of the Spirit is what He has given us. It's the privileged contribution that we bring to the body of Christ. But can I tell you, what sustains your character in the midst of such dimension of God's power and grace that makes you not to look down on other men of God, that makes you to not demean others? I need to say this before we wrap up. Because many of you, through prayer and fasting and the rest, you are pressing into dimensions, and the higher your knowledge, the higher your pride. The higher your knowledge, the higher your dishonor to men of God, your pastor, fathers of faith. Right now, you see all kinds of things. Young people, all around, everybody talking about everybody, correcting everybody. It is true that there are issues in the body of Christ that need to be straightened out. But never forget that the body you are insulting is somebody's wife. And jealousy is the rage of a man. When you insult a person's wife, you will arise in anger and jealousy. Even when the wife of a man is suffering from cancer, even when they amputate part of her body, she's still his wife. And let me tell you, this husband is a faithful one. He will not fail. The church will not fail. Not because we have the power to live well or live strong. The basis of our confidence is the husband we married. Our confidence is his responsibility. He will insist that his church becomes a glorious bride. Don't carry God's load and put on your head. He is responsible enough to bring beauty and glory out of his bride. There are two prayer points we are going to pray. Because there are people here. Please do not miss tonight's meeting. For sake of time, we may not be able to really minister. But in 2 minutes, one of the things, the graces that I believe will fall in this place is the grace for encounters. Many of you, your convictions are not strong. You cannot dare the devil. Listen, let me tell you, by the grace of God, I have held charms, I have seen demons, I have met with all kinds of things, physical and spiritual. There have been times when genuine prophets of God who love God sent a text and said, "Apostle, are you on a trip?" I say, "Yes." He said, "Please don't go, because we just saw a vision and we saw a ghastly motor accident." And they were right. That was a plot of Satan. But dominion is the ability to superimpose the speakings of Satan until the purposes of God are established in your life. Don't stand before Pharaoh if you've not seen the burning bush. There are many braggarts in the body of Christ. Respectfully, God forbid, and we make all kinds of empty boasts. Your strength is based on your union with Him. Most people have stood before demon-possessed people and struggled around manipulating their head because they think it's just by touching people with no track record of power with God. For some of you, after this conference, go on a break for 1 month. Tell the people, no ministration anywhere, please. And flog it out with God. God, work on me. Let me not come out and be lying. Let me not say things that I know by myself is not true. When God empowers you, you will lay up gold as dust. When God empowers you, He will give you a name that no power in existence can bring down. Is someone ready to pray? In the next 2 minutes, let's work with time. We are going to pray in the Spirit non-stop. I like you to stretch and cry from the depth of your heart. Lord, I open up my spirit in this conference. Someone is praying. Man of God, pray.
prophet, pray. Evangelist, pray. Custodians of power, custodians of wisdom, custodians of grace, witnesses, validators of the claims of God. One moment.
Hallelujah. But in a great house, it starts by saying, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Then it says, but in a great house, that there are four kinds of vessels: gold, silver, clay, wood. It says some vessels are unto honor and some vessels are unto dishonor. Dr. Olumide already listed 10 things here in his session that can make a man a vessel of dishonor. All of this nonsense, competition, jealousy, backbiting, carnality, wasting of time, crying for money, manipulating for money, compromising on God's standards for the belly, teaching lies, prophesying lies. You are going to pray because some of you are already being mentored by these systems. Cry a cry of prayer. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Someone pray. Don't condemn, don't castigate, but pray. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from pride. Deliver me from lust. Deliver me from a wicked heart. Deliver me from the spirit of competition. Lord, deliver me from a haughty spirit. May I not become a disaster to your program. Pray. Grant me the grace to respect every other grace. Grant me the grace to respect and honor every other man of God. Grant me the grace to forbear with the weaknesses of men of God, the weaknesses in the body. Grant me the grace to be tolerant. Grant me the grace to be an intercessor. Grant me the grace to have passion for the world. The appetite to outshine. The appetite for competition. The appetite for dishonor. The craving for fame. Take it out of my life, oh God. Take it out of my life, oh God. Are you praying? Take it out of my life. Root it out. For some of you, it has destroyed you so far. Pride has limited God from lifting you and giving you the keys to territories and nations. Cast away the spirit of laziness. It takes sacrifice to lead the people. It takes sacrifice to be a champion in the kingdom. The spirit of laziness, the spirit of slumber, giving flimsy excuses for not fasting, for not praying, for not knowing the Lord. This honor to your pastor. This honor to the faith. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Listen, I want you to get the teaching series, especially for today's meeting. All of the sessions, get it and flog it out with destiny. Some of you, after this conference, what you need next is a retreat. I want to pray for you. 1 minute. Please listen. Tonight, I want you to invite everyone, even if there is no space here, if it means you sitting on the roof this night, make up your mind that which God has in store for you, that you will not miss it. I stretch my hands right now and I pray. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, I stand in partnership with the grace upon your man of God. Right now I declare, let fire pass, God. Let fire from heaven. I'm seeing the number 37. There are 37 of you. This mantle for encounters, this grace for supernatural encounters, male and female. Help them right now. Take that grace right now. Take that grace right now. Help them, please. Take that grace right now. Take that grace right now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I open up a new vista in the spirit for you.
Amen.
I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, the eyes that see and the ears that hear, may it be given to you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For as a prince, let it be that you have had power with God and prevail. I bless your ministry.
Amen.
And every power that has kept your ministry where it is. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, by prophecy, I push you to the next season of excellence.
Amen.
The kind of hunger that is greater than preaching. The kind of hunger that is greater than conferences, greater than conventions. The kind of hunger that is greater than fame, greater than money. The kind of hunger that is greater than being a celebrity. Passion for God beyond these things. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.